Welcome in the name of our Lord Jesus. If you're a visitor here, I can see some visitors, you're especially welcome, so do please stay behind afterwards and have some coffee and biscuits with us. It'd be great to get to know you a bit better. You should have been given a notice sheet as you came in, and that's got all the practical details that you'll need. So as we come together this morning in our worship, let's focus our minds on the reason why we're here. And let's hear the words that our Lord Jesus spoke in Matthew's Gospel. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. So that's a promise from Jesus that his church, of which we're just a small part, will last forever. And if Jesus says it, it's 100% correct. We can be totally confident with that. So let's this morning, each of us individually, seek out Jesus' promises and act on them. And if we do that, it will guarantee it will transform our lives. So let's start our service this morning by standing to sing a hymn of praise to our great God, Tell Out My Soul. Please stand. Seats. Well, let's commit our meeting briefly to the Lord. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that you will bless our meeting together this morning as we gather to worship you and your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you will send your Holy Spirit upon us to increase our understanding and knowledge of you through our prayers and through reading your holy word together. We make this request, Father, in the name of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll now hand over to the music group who will lead us in a short time of worship.
Something. prosper our work and defend us. Surely his goodness and mercy shall daily attend us. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do. Who with his love will befriend us. Praise to the Lord, O let all that is in me life and breath come now with praises before him. Let the Amen sound from his people again. Gladly we praise and adore him.
This next song, it takes its words from Psalm 25, which is a beautiful psalm that reminds us that if we put our trust and our hope in God, he'll be with us in whatever we're going through. And these are the words from Psalm 25, verses 1 to 5. In you, my Lord, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. So let's sing these words, shall we? Putting our trust and our hope in the Lord our God.
Of all.
worship to you. In surrender I must give my every part. Lord, receive the sacrifice of a broken heart. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a King? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart. You deserve my every breath, for you paid the great cost, giving up your life to death, even death on a cross. You took all my shame away, there defeated my sin. Open up the gates of hell and have beckoned me in. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a King? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus, to give up his life to death in order to pay the great cost that comes with our sin. And that in doing so, the gates of heaven are open to us. We pray that as we meet together this morning and worship in your name and in your presence, that we would be filled with that vision of heaven and with your Spirit, Lord, and that the eternity that awaits with you would remind us of your grace and your love and the power of the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Should have been given a notice sheet as he came in. We've got a few notices to get through today. So this evening we have our Koinonia service at 6:30 here, which is a less formal service, and we're going to have a short 5-minute presentation from the Gideons and the work they do in the local area. So please do make an effort to come along to that and hear what goes on. If you turn into the notice sheets then, we've got home groups this week, so if you're not part of a home group, please see one of the elders and get joined up to one. They're a great time of encouragement to us. I'd also like to flag up the men's breakfast on Saturday the 17th of November, where Randy will be speaking. Again, please do come along to that. It's a good time of encouragement. It's not just about the food. And notice about the eagles today. So eagles can either stay in the service or they can go out. It's up to you, it's your choice. And now I'm going to ask Les just to come up and give a very quick announcement.
Okay, I just have a few of these packages here. They're books for pastors in mainly Burkina Faso and some in Gambia, I think. The idea is that we post them and we send them to them. the price you have to put on the, or the postage is on the package. Don't ask the person in the post office, they may charge you more. These have already been weighed, they go at a special rate, and so this one is £7.15, and it goes to Ouagadougou. You've all been there, I'm sure, in Burkina Faso. So if you can help in this way, it will be a great help. There are a few just out on the tables in the corridor. So we'd be pleased if you could take some of those. It does help mission work. I was at a mission conference yesterday, and there were boxes and boxes of these. So you can imagine how much it will save the mission in sending them. Thank you.
Thank you, Les. Right, I think that's all for the notices. So, as you can see, it's time for our next instalment in Pilgrim's Progress. And Martin Davids is the presenter this morning. So, Martin, if you'd like to come up.
Right. Right, is that working? Excellent. Okay then, great. So who can remember what's happened so far? Where have we left Pilgrim last time? Anyone remember? Will? Go on, a hand went up there, Will, come on. He did go the wrong way. What way was he going? And who did he meet along the way? Becca, can you remember? No? No? Okay, so last time we met Pilgrim, he was here. And he was going to this city here. So remember what it was called? The city of the city of morality. Can I, Chloe, you remember that one now, don't you? Yeah, you do. Who told him to go there? Who told him to go there? Miss, yes, Will? Becca? Mr. Worldly Wise Man, because he'd met Mr. Worldly Wise Man, and as you can see, he's carrying this great big pack on his back. And he says to Mr. Worldly Wise Man, how can I get this off my back? And Mr. Worldly Wise Man says, if you go to the city of morality, there's a man there called Legality. He will tell you how to get off your back. But as he was going to the city, what can he see? What scared him as he got closer and close, what can he see that's scaring him?
Fire.
Nice and loud.
It's fire.
Yes, absolutely. It's fire, and he got scared. Well, it wasn't a dragon, though. It was fire that's coming out the top of the hill. But, you know, who knows what's behind the hill?
Dragon!
Well, okay. So, he sees the fire, or the dragon, coming from the top of the hill. And he gets scared. And in his fear, he meets his friend, Evangelist. And he's worried. His friend, Evangelist, is looking very cross. Because he said, don't go off the...
path.
Yes. Or path. So don't come off the path, because you're going to find yourself in trouble. So he says, go back on the path, and you'll come to this door. Do we have any PowerPoints? No? Okay. You'll come to this door. Right, I want someone with some very good eyesight and good at reading. Who's got good eyesight and is good at reading? Go on then. What's that say there? Do you know what it says? I thought it was going to amaze me with knowing what. Nice and loud.
Knock and the door shall be opened to you.
Good
Okay. Excellent, well done. Knock and the door should be opened to you. So, he comes to the gate, knock and the door shall be opened to you. So, our friend Christian knocks. He knocks and nothing happens. So he knocks again. At that point, he meets a man who asks him, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am Christian. And I've come from the city of destruction." Oh, sorry, Will. Didn't see your hand there. Okay, Will, go on. "And I'm going to Heavenly City." Yeah, okay, thank you. Okay. At that point, the man reaches out his hand and he pulled him in very roughly. Poor Christian doesn't know what's going on. He pulled him in very quickly. And all of a sudden, behind him, he hears a shoo, boom, shoo, boom, shoo, boom. Sound effects, great. Okay. He hears these sounds and he hits the door behind him. And Christian doesn't know what that is. And he says, "What's that?" And the man, who's called Goodwill, he said, beside this door is a castle and it belongs to the devil. And the devil shoots arrows at anybody who's trying to come in through the door. And he says to Christian, "Tell me your story." So this is the man, the other side of the door. He says, "Tell me your story." And Christian tells him the story of the adventure he's had so far. He tells him how he's been led off the narrow path and nearly into the city of morality. And Goodwill points him onwards. And he said, "You are to continue along the narrow path up to a hill where you'll be told how to get rid of your burden." Christian says, "Is this just one narrow path?" And Goodwill said, "Well, there are some roads that come off either side of it. But you'll know they're not the right road because they are wide and crooked. But the way to the hill, to a house that you'll meet a person who'll tell you how to get rid of your burden, is narrow and straight. Follow that path and you will get there." Now, this story tells us something really important about what Jesus says, about what the Bible says, about how to get to heaven. Firstly, it's not this way. The city of morality are people telling you, do lots of good things, be a good person, help out. There's nothing wrong with that. Those are all good things. But it's distraction from the narrow path. Because what we'll find out is not by what you do, but it's by Jesus that we find our way to heaven. And also, we are not to stray from the narrow path, because Jesus said that narrow is the way that leads to life, and few find it, but broad is the way that leads to destruction. So Christian now has this message: stay on the narrow path. Don't stray from it on the broad way, the crooked way, because that's not the way to go. So here we're going to leave Christian as he continues down that narrow path, still with his heavy burden on his back, but with hope that he can find a way to get rid of it. Okay, thank you, children.
Thank you, Martin. In fact, children, you can go back to your seats. You can keep going. You can go out to Sunday school now. There you go. And the rest of us, while they're doing that, the rest of us will stand and sing our next song, which is Days of Elijah. Let's stand, please.
Righteousness being restored. bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. These are the days of the harvest, the fields are as white in your world.
Please take a seat. We're going to have our Bible reading now. If you'll turn then please to the book of Isaiah in chapter 6. It's also up on the screen. So Isaiah chapter 6. Verses 1 to 8, Isaiah's commission. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." We pray that God will bless his reading of his word there, and we look forward to studying that in more detail later. Let's take some time now to come together in prayer. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you and praise you that you are a great God, that you spoke the universe into being. And yet, Father, despite our sins and our great wickedness, you loved us so much that you sent your only Son into the world as a man to die for us and to save us. Thank you, Father, for your grace, giving us hope of eternal life with you, something that we don't deserve and we could not possibly obtain with our own merits. Thank you, Father, for sending your Holy Spirit to comfort us and to increase our knowledge of you. Thank you for your word, the Bible, that tells us your truths, Father, and shows us how to live. Father, you are the very same God who revealed yourself to Isaiah nearly 3,000 years ago. You never change. Thank you for the confidence we can have as we come before you today. We repent that we are so quick to forget you, Father, and your promises. Please will you renew our minds this day and help us to live our lives as you want us to. We pray for our world, Father, the beautiful world that you created. There seems to be so much trouble and uncertainty within it. Father, we pray that you will move in a mighty way in our world, with many more people coming to know Jesus as their Saviour. And Father, we hold to that promise that Jesus gave us, that he would build his church. We pray for our brothers and sisters in countries where there is much less freedom to worship than we have in here. And we think of those who are actively being persecuted for their faith. Father, we pray that you will comfort them today, even now, that they will in some way know that they are being prayed for by Christians across the world. Father, will you increase their faith and their knowledge of your promises? Comfort them that their days on earth are just a short time compared to the glorious prospect of eternity that they will spend with you. Father, we pray for our country and our city. We pray for our leaders. We know that those in authority only are there because you put them there, but no authority is granted to anyone other than through you. We pray for our Prime Minister, we pray for our local MP. Father, we pray for conversions amongst our leaders. We pray that they will come to a saving knowledge of you as their Saviour. We know, Father, there's no heart that you cannot change. In our city, Father, we pray for all the churches meeting now, praising your name. We pray for unity in our church, in our city, and in our country. In our own church, Father, we pray for our pastors and elders. We pray that you will give them strength and wisdom to serve you in the right way. We pray for all those who serve you in whatever capacity. Keep us faithful, Father, to your word. Help us to persevere when we feel weak. Increase our faith in you, Father, and our understanding of your promises. Help us in faith to ask for more and receive more from you, Father, according to your will. We pray now for your servant Randy as he comes up shortly to teach us from your word. Father, we pray that you will speak through him as you did through Isaiah all that time ago. We pray that you'll send your Holy Spirit upon him and to us, so that we can understand your word and how we should respond. We bring our prayers before you now, Father, confident that you will hear and answer them through our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So just before Randy comes up, we're going to sing one more time. I'll hand over to the music group now, so please stand as we sing My Heart is Filled with Thankfulness.
My heart is filled.
Amen. Good morning to you.
Thanks. Thank you.
Sure. It's so great to be here and worship the Lord with you here at Manor Park. Isn't he worthy to be praised today? Oh, some of us owe back pay in just worshiping and thanking the Lord. And it's just so good to be with you here this morning. Our hearts are filled with thankfulness because he walks with us. The Lord Jesus says he will never leave us nor forsake us. And so I'm so glad to be with you here this morning. And if you're a guest with us today, we just offer you all a warm welcome. We're glad you're here. I'd like to welcome my in-laws, Jeff and Nancy Buckman. They're here from the United States. They're our first visitors from the States. So we're really glad to have them with us and be able to worship with us today. And Peter was praying earlier. He said kind of a key word that I was thinking is that the Lord kind of put on my heart. He said, we're living in uncertain times. Boy, isn't that the truth? You know, all throughout history, there have been times of turmoil and anguish, you know, just on the world stage. But it seems like these last few years, there's just, you almost want to say, what's next? What's going to be the next thing that happened? I checked the news this morning and I saw the tragic news that 11 people were shot dead at a Jewish synagogue in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. But we just almost, and I don't want to sound insensitive, but you almost get used to this kind of thing. And we need to ask ourselves, I believe, as Christians, and I think the Bible